You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And CJ Gibson.
What's up?
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the Xbox One Sad Edition.
Did you make that up?
I didn't make that up.
I saw trending last night.
Microsoft made that up.
Microsoft naming conventions. Whew.
We got to talk about the Capcom Home Arcade. But first, let's begin with the PlayStation 5 details, technical details of which were first revealed this week.
That's right.
In kind of a strange way,
yeah.
I think. Sony chose to have let Mark Cerny, architect of PlayStation 4, and of Marble Madness.
Yeah, many great games.
Mainly that first thing, though, is what's relevant here.
Yeah. And like a bunch of mascot games between those.
Like yeah. What?
Well, Knack.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Before that...
Well, that's not a mascot game. I guess it kind of is. I guess they wanted it to be.
Right.
But before that, he did the Bandicoots and whatnot.
Yeah. He's involved in Sonic 2, I think, somebody's saying. Yeah.
Sonic 2?
Yeah. Somebody's saying just on the back end, he dealt with a lot with Sega in early, really cool. His early ages. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he gave an interview with Wired where he talked about these tech specs of the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that's weird is because E3 is coming up. They could have just had an E3 press conference.
There's no press conference instead.
My favorite tweet was like, well, I'm not an executive in the video game industry, but if I had a console to announce, I'd hold a press conference at E3.
I would think. It's just sort of a quiet little interview with, a publication it's a well-respected publication, but maybe isn't as popular today as it was 10 years ago.
So. I think it was almost an offhand line in the report, but it was like, some developers have had development kits for a while, mm-hmm. but a lot more development kits are starting to ship out now. And I think Sony just... accepts that, like, look, people are going to start talking about this. So.
Yeah, it's coming.
I guess so.
It's not that different than, like, BioWare saying, like, yep, we are making another Mass Effect. See you in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Sony probably was wise to acknowledge, it exists.
But, and, like, I don't, like, marketing strategy, whatever. Like, we'll see what they do. But they still haven't done, like, what it looks like, what the controller is, what the price is, what the name is. Like, things like that they can roll out at these big, big moments. So it is funny that they started with, like, well, let's have a nerdy discussion about tech specs. It's going to have ray tracing.
Exactly. And Mark Cerny, super
technical. Which is sad because ray tracing
guy.
Was my favorite editor here, and he moved on to Sony.
Yeah. Gosh. There was immense detail about the lighting effects from the ray tracing. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, that's Mark's deal.
So everything we've heard, it sounds like next-gen PlayStation 4, meaning they're not like trying to rewrite the book on what a traditional video game console is. Right?
They're not taking out disk drives.
Not taking out disk drives. Not...
creating a streaming console. It's just it's a more powerful PlayStation 4.
They talked about how important having the solid state hard drive inside it is in terms of like read speeds. Like you're not really constrained by, you know, GPU technology and stuff like that, but you are constrained by how quickly the console can load the data. And so the marketing speak, we'll see if it's delivered in the final product, is that solid state hard drive with so much faster read speed should allow you to get around game worlds. You know, like what was the example from Spider-Man? Like
Spider-Man
closed like a gap from like
fast traveling
0.8
in Spider-Man on PlayStation 4 Pro took 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Using a next gen PlayStation dev kit, it took 0.8 seconds.
Yeah. And they're supposedly using like proprietary hard drive tech that's even faster than like the solid state drives in people's gaming PCs now. Yeah. But you see it in a gaming PC. Like I have in my gaming PC, I have a solid state drive, and that console I called it a console because that's how it acts. Like it doesn't have like a PC boot up like the way you expect. Yeah. Like it really, really does cut down on load times, boot times, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The backwards compatibility is really telling. It's like, it's so funny to see them saying like, oh, your step between system and this is just in a kind of another step. Like we are not changing.
What do you mean?
So before it used to be that backwards compatibility wasn't really desirable because it was expensive and they said people didn't use it.
Yeah.
But now they're saying, okay, you already bought another system, but you can play your old games on it. Just do that again. You can still play your old games on it. And it's like we're just incrementally moving through consoles now instead of really moving generationally. Like that step between has made it so backwards compatibility is just like accepted and important. And, you know, maybe a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation 5 aren't going to be that different for those games specifically.
Well, I feel like that was a little bit of a challenge between the PlayStation 3 and 4, where there was a bunch of things, I think, from a technology standpoint that were good. But then, like, Kinect was even still doing that thing on account of Wii from 2006. And, I mean, that kind of, I think, destroyed Microsoft initially because they focused on it.
Well, you have to lock in these choices. Like, the decision to double down on Kinect had to be made so early
in
like, the Xbox One life cycle that then they have this, like, yoke around their neck they can't shake.
Because Xbox, I think that's the reason why they kind of lost that early generation. There was a certain amount of, I think, like the RAM that was dedicated to Kinect, and they weren't even able to hit 720p or 1080p on some of these titles. And that's why I'm interested to see the whole 8K thing. Like, right, okay, well, that's nice, but TVs don't even do 4K, but, you know.
Pretty skeptical.
Yeah, exactly. Like mainstream right now, so.
I mean, you gotta future-proof your stuff.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
You can't have a box that works for 2020. You have to have a box that works for, like, 2025. So, you know, I understand that. But, like, man, like, how many homes don't even have 4K TVs yet?
Exactly.
We do a lot of, like, research into what people are searching so we can write about articles that might appeal to them. Mm-hmm. And the big search terms that I saw, which won't be answered for so long, is, like, what's Bloodborne like on PS5? What's this game like? Everybody wants to know about the games. And so while the console announcement is going to be interesting and we follow it and everything, it is crazy that we have no games list and that there's so few discussions about, like, why would I play a game on a PS5 instead of a PS4? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, Sam, I think you're completely right that they want to fuzz and blur the lines between the generations. Anytime there's a big console generation, like a break, like things are different now, that's an opportunity for people to just switch allegiances, right? And the companies want to stop that. Like, Sony wants to do everything in their power to provide continuity through people that have a PS4 and just have, you know, carry them right through to PS5. So.
They've almost like established themselves as the stability in the industry. Mm-hmm. So if they're saying that they're going to be the safe system, then they kind of push Nintendo to experiment, which Nintendo always does.
Yeah.
And they push Microsoft to experiment, which has kind of screwed them over a little bit before.
Yeah.
So like if Microsoft comes out now and says like, no, we're the boring system. It's going to be really interesting.
PR.
And I think I agree with Damon. Like, I love having and I'm using boring, not like even pejoratively. Like, I actually do think like we need that system by which we can judge other systems and the wackiness of what's going to come.
Yeah.
It's fitting because Sony's really the torchbearer today of the traditional AAA single-player console game.
Yeah.
With games like God of War and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Days Gone. So it makes sense that their console is the more traditional video game console, the more powerful version of what we had before. That's what we used to always get, and we were happy with that for a long time.
Yep.
And PSVR is going to work with the same thing. Like, I think the continuity thing is like such an interesting theme, and it also is also going to be expensive for everybody because when they go 0.5 with this, and then they do this, like we're starting to see a console cycle that's like, well, we can't probably push them much shorter than buying a console every 3 or 4 years, but I think we can get them to do that. And now we're going to be doing that. We're going to be buying consoles that often.
Yeah.
There were cagey in the Wired article about VR, you know, didn't really have anything to say about that yet. So whether they lean into that or lean away from it is still a big Question mark.
Hmm. Yeah. And the pricing too. I mean, to me, yeah. I was actually at that event when they announced it. I remember sitting next to Fran and Perrin. I said, hey, if they announce this thing at $399, $100 less than the Xbox, it's over for this generation. I said I said those words then. And to me, it's like if they increase the price now pretty dramatically, I don't know what they would launch at. But I mean, it's got to be kind of risky if there's not a crazy benefit to seeing PlayStation 5 besides load times, right?
But a Pro is $500, right?
No one knows.
I think
no
it's, yeah. Well, I mean, that was the other question. MSRP, right? We'll talk about maybe the Xbox thing after. Yeah. But yeah, MSRP changes pretty dramatically, even if it says it's $499.
Well, yeah. Do people hold to it or not?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just saying, if the next generation PlayStation can't be less expensive than the PlayStation 4 Pro, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be in line with their pricing for it.
Yeah.
I own every console, play games on every console, same. You know, like franchises on every console, but I love the gamesmanship of the console war, these multi-billion dollar companies. Yeah. It's so fascinating to me just how high the stakes are that they have to make these decisions, as we were saying, like 3 years ago. Like, are we going to have a more powerful $500 box or a little bit more conservative $400 box? And like, locking those decisions in, and I don't know. It's really fascinating to me, and it's always my favorite time to be doing the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, and what's Sony at now for units to date sold? I think it's around 90 million or something like that.
96 or something like that.
Mid-90s.
They won.
There are like lingering problems we talk about sometimes, and load times is one of them, where it's like, why isn't this solved? Like, well, it's completely crazy that we have all this other stuff going for us. Games are looking more and more real, very pretty, but load times never go away. So it's really cool to see that tackled head on. It's like, well, if we can't improve, you know, the experience in all these other graphical ways, like, let's just improve it in this way.
And he used it with a technical example where it's like, it's not just as simple as an SSD. It's the I/O interface within the context of the system. Because you can put an SSD in the new PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. It does not make it that fast. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of inner workings of the guts that are changing there. So,
is there any significance to the fact that they're not calling it PlayStation 5 yet?
Nah.
I think they want to do that as a logo reveal.
That's the reveal.
Just a markety thing.
Yeah. I think we'll get that at the same time we see the design of
the hardware. Yeah.
So much of what we think of as a console war right now is a reaction against Microsoft losing the market share.
Absolutely.
And Microsoft, I think, made a very confusing console name, and they put Kinect in their console, and they made it like they stunted it because of that. Like, there's no way PlayStation's going to go those ways, right? Mm-hmm. And if they do, like, it'll seem foolish. And so I think we can expect them, if it looks like they're playing it safe, then we can expect the PlayStation 5 to be the name, and you know there'll be another God of War on it and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, they're going to play it that way.
And that's how they ended the article. They're like, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. It's PlayStation 5. It's going to play video games really fast, really well.
On that performance thing, though, about how much faster it was to fast travel in Spider-Man.
Do you have any sound effects or music here? It just seems like we're not filling the space.
We do in between segments.
Oh, my God.
Man, right. Sam's just
keep
itching.
Going,
He's just
keep
itching.
Going.
It makes fast traveling so much easier on Spider-Man. But, you know, like, the next-gen games will be, much bigger and more involved. So I think the PlayStation 5 games will still take 15 seconds to fast travel.
They still just gobble up, like, whatever advantage.
Every time technology makes a leap, there's something that makes it come back to the same space. It's like,
my home computer has 16 gigabytes of RAM, but it still takes the exact same amount of time to, like, load email as it did when it had, like, exactly. 1 gigabyte of RAM.
The way I always complain about that is for exporting video.
I know. Yeah. Like, you get in the, like, man, it's like a minute or two now. And they're like, I've tried exporting 4K. Yeah. Nope. It's not a minute or two anymore.
It goes right back to being 1-to-1.
Exactly.
How long is your video? That's how long it's going to take.
8K? Oh, God.
Yep.
Exactly it.
They said it's not coming this year, so assuming this comes next year, how big does the hard drive need to be?
Ooh,
in the launch place?
Terabyte at minimum.
It's weird that we're still
a year from now.
Too.
It's like, how could that be enough a year from now?
Because I think they'll have the internal ones smaller and faster, and then give you the opportunity to have an I/O connection to plug external ones in. Like right now, I have a 4 terabyte external hard drive on my PlayStation, but I did upgrade a smaller internal one at 2 terabytes.
That's an interesting point. I wonder if they'll make some distinction between like 2 terabyte solid state drives, particularly if they're proprietary to the console,
expensive.
Are crazy expensive.
Yeah.
So they'll probably do something like you'll have like an active game.
Yes.
And then they'll be like, take 30 minutes, you know, whatever, overnight, and like, you know, this is going to get dragged over to your crazy fast drive, but then they'll have like a slow storage, right?
All this is like so funny to talk about because we've mentioned this before, Breath of the Wild is like 14 gigabytes or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
so
people just don't compress their games.
I know.
And they don't do it because they don't have to.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe, you know, maybe there'll be a leap there. Maybe games will just be smaller in the future, not bigger. I don't know why we assume they're going to be bigger. They don't have to be.
Well, I mean, with the textures, though, you'd assume they're going to be. Like, Red Dead was, what, 110 gigs or something like that?
But again, like, that stuff, like, this is not optimized. Yeah, they didn't work on that.
Yeah, a lot of it's textures, but a lot of it's, you know, Sam's right. Like, it's like, why is this Call of Duty game 89 gigabytes? And it's because it's coming with, like, every language audio, like, 10 gigabytes of audio from, you know, eight languages. And it's like, they're just not... It's not a priority.
But they made that a conversation there, too, like going, oh, if we implement different audio systems and all that stuff, it could be just one of those things where, okay, now we have 50 million sounds because we can, and then it's the same thing. And then, there's 60 gigs of audio.
But and also, again, our internet in this country specifically can't handle that. Like you, that's why discs will still exist, is because like if you do make games that big, then you got to print them. You just have to.
Yeah.
Well, I wish we could say we'll be learning more at E3, but that is not the case.
But we'll be learning more almost weekly probably now. Something will happen.
Something, not through Sony.
When developers get dev kits and it's out there, we start seeing like them being sold on eBay. That's a thing that happens.
Well,
there's these moments in the console releases which are really fun to watch.
Here's a question. Does any third-party publisher at E3 mention our game will be coming to PlayStation 5?
Yeah.
That's what's going to be cool about E3 this year.
It's just weird not to have Sony first-party games talking about that.
And Mark Cerny's pretty, you know, tied into Death Stranding with Kojima and all the rest of those things. Like, I would say that that's going to be like a showcase.
I think a lot of these games are going to be cross-gen. I think that's going to be the language at E3. Like, cross-gen. And if not, like IGN kind of needs to push this narrative. Like, is your game going to be appearing cross-gen. On, both generation of platforms?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's, we talk about like, what are we going to hear about PlayStation at E3? Like, that's what we're covering. Like, we're going to be, you know, as journalists, like, going there to cover that.
Yeah. No to Death Stranding, sorry?
I think we'll be playing Death Stranding first on PS4.
Oh, interesting. You don't think they'll hold it for a PlayStation 5 release in 2020?
I don't think so. That's my hunch.
All right.
Moving on.
Cool.
I actually don't remember what that's from.
It's definitely a Sega.
It's something on the Genesis. Yeah.
How can you tell?
It's just that synth.
You don't think it sounds like a Genesis game?
Yeah.
Totally. And, you know, I mean, I don't think about it that way.
No, I do.
It has those bings and bongs that are just great.
It's obvious that it's not an NES game, right?
Yeah.
I'm going with Streets of Rage 2.
I would have remembered that.
Yeah. Why would you not remember?
Because it's some obscure game.
Oh, okay.
Remember, I picked this stuff at random.
Sounds a little bit like Altered Beast, actually, or something.
I would remember if it were Altered Beast. Okay. It's something obscure.
Okay. Tasmania.
This week, maybe if it comes to me, I'll let you guys know.
Figure it out.
After many leaks, Microsoft finally revealed the Xbox One. Here it is. The Xbox One S. All Digital Edition, which acronyms to the Xbox One SAD Edition.
Like, can they just not figure it out?
Which is amazing to me. Nobody at Microsoft looked at this and thought, you know, maybe we should go with something else.
Well, they had Diskless,
exactly,
which you have to be careful about.
Yeah,
Diskless,
and they also had XBONE.
Well, that's true.
As their
I guess you're right. There is no one at Microsoft looking at this.
They need an acronym guy.
Exactly.
But they also really said
the word "all" doesn't need to be in there. It adds nothing.
It doesn't.
Yeah,
get
you're
it
right,
out of there.
Right.
Yeah.
All except the disc drive and the Blu-ray player.
Like, doesn't any big company that's making a big product like this, they need like a meme advisor on board to look at your shit.
I love that job.
Be able to be like, all right, this is how people are going to make fun of you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But they don't have that yet.
Bart, fart.
Yeah. At GDC, I went to a talk where they're talking about crunch in the industry. And one of the presenters, and I wish I knew her name because she's done other cool stuff, but she was a geographer. She was like a geographer, like, you know. That's what her trade was.
Cool.
And she was hired by video game companies to say like, oh, if you put out this game in this country, this thing will be offensive.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
And she's like a contractor that goes around to do that. And so there could be totally a meme person that goes around and be like, guys, this is what's going to happen if you call your system SAD.
Yeah. They need one. Like, if they haven't learned their lesson by now, they will never learn.
I guess not. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with an all digital or digital edition of the Xbox.
And there's
console.
Nothing wrong.
There's one thing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with being sad.
That's true as well.
There's nothing wrong with the idea of a console without a disc drive.
No,
the price is the problem.
There you go.
They priced it so wrong.
Exactly.
It's unfathomable.
Exactly.
It's crazy. It's $250, which means there's literally no reason to buy it because a regular Xbox One S costs that or less.
Yeah, you can get an Xbox One S that has a 4K Blu-ray player in it and The Division 2 for less money.
Or Anthem.
MSRP doesn't mean much. Yeah.
But it's like, so like, honestly, I have to repeat this. There is literally no reason to buy this at $250.
There's
right
that funny
now.
Ad.
Yeah. No,
did
it's not
you,
funny.
Did you guys each see it?
It was so bad.
I actually looked at it. I sent it to you. They took it down last night because I think the like to dislike ratio, and they re-uploaded it this morning or like late. Like,
yeah, well, no, how does that help?
I don't know. It doesn't, but I think it eliminates some of the negativity because I was looking at a bunch of the posts and I was like, oh my gosh.
If you didn't see it, Justin, they put up an ad for the sad edition.
Yeah.
That seemed like an April Fool's joke. They were trying to play it for laughs. Like, they just took up an image file of the Xbox One S and just deleted the disk drive part of it, and then that was, like, their angle.
It's a cute angle, and it just doesn't work in this video very
especially
well.
Especially not with this.
I'm not a critic of the video, but it's funny that they took
it. I am. I mean, here's the thing. I watched the video, like, 20 times.
So you're a super fan.
Yeah, in a way, because I'm like, do they not realize they are shooting themselves in the foot with this ad? Like, it's shot so expertly well, and the concept is great.
Yeah,
if it was on April 1st, it literally
well, it
makes
came in
them,
the same month.
Yeah, but. It makes them look as if they don't know that they're slow.
Which we now know.
Which we do know now, but it's like, hey guys, guess what? We removed the Blu-ray drive, and we left the price the same.
Yeah, that's kind of what they did.
Go get it today.
Are you saying that the S with the drive is the same price?
Yeah, or less.
It's less. With the drive and a
bundled,
game.
There's less.
So what blew me away about this is I thought it'd be, and this would be a reason to buy it, I thought it'd be cheap, discless, and the X level of power.
It's not X level.
Right?
Power.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that would be the cool trade-off. It's like, okay, you can't afford the X, so we'll take out the disk drive and we'll give you a really powerful system.
In Microsoft's defense, CJ, you keep talking about MSRP. The MSRP of like the Division 2, you know, Xbox One S is $300.
Yeah.
And the MSRP of this is $250.
But
the problem is no one's selling their Xbox One S at $300.
Right. And it's not a new thing. It's been available at that price for like 2 years now.
And it's discounted, you know, $299 crossed out to $250 on Microsoft.com.
Exactly.
It's insane.
Here's the other thing. When you watch the ad, they're literally clicking on the CD drive and going, it's gone. We did it. And I'm like, fantastic. Here's what sucks. The form factor is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So unless you're looking at it directly from straight on, I don't know how often now you're going to go, no disk drive. And you're going to run into
it. Like cramming a disk because it has that little bank where the disk drive is.
Yes.
You know, so you can't actually tell if the disk drive is missing.
It does.
It's mind-boggling.
It does come with Xbox. It comes with Xbox Game Pass. I don't recall how many months.
Yeah,
which is,
like,
you know, not
two or three downloadable
games.
And
it comes with some downloadable games, but it's not enough.
Yeah, and then the last thing I'll say is, so if they're going to do that, I was thinking it might be a redesign, because I actually like the PlayStation 4 Slim because it's portable. I was like, cool, this is a way to get rid of the space.
But that would be a reason to buy it.
Right, and then
you got them.
That's true. Then I was like, cool, it's going to be portable. And I was like, it is the same thing without the drive.
If they would have leaned harder into the digital, like what if it came with a library of like 20 digital games, which I know costs Microsoft money, but like, you know, pick some ticky-tacky stuff of like, it comes with 20 games, comes with Master Chief Collection, comes with this garbage. And like,
rather than all the stickers that just says, does not include disk drive.
What if
box.
We bought a bunch of them and then epoxied a handle under them?
Yeah.
And then sold them for 1 cent more.
Well, and what an insult to, like, you know, GameStop and these other stores that are now selling this thing that's like...
The returns.
Like, why? Because the employees are going to have to explain? Or?
Yeah. No, because then you can't, like, they're going to sell someone a box that is a customer that's never going to walk into their store again.
Mm-hmm. That too.
All right. Can you play some music for me? Because this is called The Collector's Corner. This machine will be worth so much money.
Cobra Triangle.
That's a good angle. There you go.
Yeah. That was the Cobra Triangle load thing.
Mm-hmm. Good ear.
You're so good at that. I'm really amazed, man. Every time a little thing of music plays from a game that I've played a million times, you recognize it. I don't.
This new era of GameCube drives me insane because I recognize them all, but not what any of them, not like I can't.
Cobra Triangle.
This episode of GameScoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So, but yeah, I
you can't name this one.
No, not this one. Some Genesis game.
The title of the file,
Sonic Spinball,
is Departure.
Departure.
Definitely so. Spinball. But this system will be expensive, and it'll be the most expensive brick, because in 20 years, you won't be able to do anything with it.
I disagree with that. We actually have an email about that.
How do you disagree with that?
Well, let Taylor
let's ask skip this email and answer my question.
This is Taylor in beautiful, sunny Portland, Oregon.
Hello.
Says, I sat out on Xbox's generation, but with the Xbox One S All Digital Edition and Game Pass combo coming, seems like there is no better value for playing through the Xbox One games I missed. I love to keep all my old consoles and occasionally will whip them out to have a stroll down memory lane. Be advised, people in sunny Portland, Oregon. Taylor is around just whipping them out whenever he wants. Says, I've been split this generation on buying digital on both Switch and PS4, but I know that even the digital games on those consoles should be playable in the future. My question is this. If I pick up an Xbox One SAD and use it as a Game Pass machine, will it become nothing but a paperweight 10 or 15 years down the line? Is it worth it to get one with a disc drive just so that it is guaranteed to have some sort of value in the future? It's, you're downloading games to the console. You're not streaming them. Once you download them, you still have them.
No, the monthly pass things, though, you know,
if
you stop paying for the service, you don't have the access to the game.
No.
Do they work? That's how PS Plus works. And I actually don't know.
That's how Games with Gold works.
That's how Game Pass works, but I don't know about
and Game Pass.
Is that how Games with Gold works as
well? Otherwise, you really could. Get it for a few months and then
I think
play games
you keep
forever.
Them with Games with Gold.
I mean, well, you still have to check in, though. That's the thing. You need to be, I think, connected online.
Let's clarify. Like, Game Pass is a subscription service where it's like Netflix.
That's
right?
for sure.
You pay $10 and then you have a library of games you can download and play. So if you unsubscribe, you lose that library of games.
Yes.
But Games with Gold and PS Plus give you a couple games every month, but PS Plus holds them hostage.
Yes.
They do.
If you unsubscribe, they go away.
Compare it every month.
But if you just download Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you have that.
Right.
You're not going to lose that game.
If you buy the game digitally.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about just buying your games digitally.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does a check. Like, let's say Microsoft is like, fuck it, we're not in the Xbox business anymore. Like, then what?
Yeah.
They don't say anything about it being in like an always online console.
Yeah, but like, do your digital copies, like, if you're offline, can you play your digital copy of Assassin's Creed?
I'm assuming you can.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's not an always online console. It's just a download.
But there's a DRM concern.
There is. And the licensing thing, sometimes I've run into that too, where I didn't have an internet connection and it wouldn't let me because it needed to touch.
Sometimes it has to check in.
It has to check in.
It has to phone home.
Games with Gold, you will no longer be able to access your Games with Gold titles if you cancel your subscription.
Yeah.
However, if you decide to renew your subscription anytime, you'll be able to access and play your previously redeemed games.
You get them back.
Yep. So that was a feature that they took away?
No.
Says you will
both
no longer?
That and Plus are the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to subscribe to play those games.
Yeah, that's okay. The part I wasn't sure about is whether Gold worked the same as Plus.
Which is really weird because it used to be basically that you would have online Xbox, quote, quote, for free, right? But then there were certain features that they disabled, mostly multiplayer and those downloadable things and stuff like that. And then, of course, now since Game Pass came out, they've probably restructured some of those things. And as well, now there a lot of PlayStation are giving away games as well, too. So they had to do that, I think, for that reason.
But this will be a brick if those services stop.
Yep.
I mean, that.
See, I just.
Oh, no, sorry. You could buy the games.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you're just downloading your games digitally.
Well, but Sam, looking that up, what we were asking was what happens if just the Xbox service ceases to exist or you don't have internet anymore? Like, does that console have to phone home in order for you to even play the games that you bought digitally? Like,
not for the digital purchase games.
I don't think so.
Consoles are still that way because you can unplug your console and play whatever you want right now. Some will say, do you want to do an update? Or they'll say, this requires an update to play online, but they let you play all the single player.
But that's how Steam works. Like, Steam lets you play games offline, but not for an infinite amount of time.
Right.
At some point, it makes you log back in.
Yeah, I've never heard of that for these consoles.
I think I can fire up my Xbox 360 and still play all my Xbox Live Arcade games that are on it.
Yeah, I mean, but that, again, I think was a little bit different because it didn't have to do the check-in thing that is with Xbox One.
But that's not – I think once you own a game, you're not going to – it's going to act just like a disc.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the hope.
That's the hope, and you're right. It's a fair question. I think the bigger issue is that, especially even multiplayer games that require network connection, is will the provider, the developer, end up having those games online at that point in time?
Dude, it used to be like, hey, you know, they would handle this with kid gloves. EA would be like, look, you know, we're going to shut down the servers for FIFA 2004. Yep. We're really sorry. And we're like, yeah, it's been 12 years. It's fine.
Yeah.
But now, like, they're shutting down servers, like, pretty fast.
Or they remove games from the shops. And there's, like, Twitter accounts and stuff that follow that.
Yes.
But, like, there's no announcement for it.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade. Can't get it anymore. But I have it on my disc, and I play it often on my 360 because for that reason.
How often?
Well, I mean, once a year. You know, I throw it in.
All of this whole conversation is irrelevant, though, because you shouldn't open the box if you buy that console, or else it definitely won't be worth it.
Yeah. One of two things is going to happen. Either it's going to be crazy rare, or Microsoft has already made 2 million of them, and it's going to be $100 in 6 months.
Well, then it'll be in a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
It's like I saw today, actually, the PS Classic was $35, which is the cheapest I've ever seen it. It went to $60, and that was a big deal, and then $40, and that was a big deal, and now Newegg has them for $35.
Crazy. Anyway, I think the Xbox One Sad Edition is an incredible misfire. I will say, once again, there is literally no reason to buy that console.
It's also just beautifully unfortunate timing.
Yeah.
How different would the storytelling be if this thing was like $190?
$150.
Yeah.
$199.
Yeah. Even $199 would be like, it's the cheapest way to get next gen. Like, buy it. It's great.
Insane. Same.
Yeah, love it.
Now, another questionable hardware announcement that was made this week is the Capcom Home Arcade.
Well.
This is Capcom's take on the mini.
Damon has a hang up with this.
Console.
That's why he's introducing it.
Well, I'm surprised that other people don't have the same hang up. Anyway, this is another a hardware unit that Capcom is releasing that with two joysticks that will include 16 classic Capcom arcade games. And the game lineup is pretty dope.
It's incredibly dope.
But the unit itself is not like an arcade, you know, table. It's just the Capcom logo with all the sort of contours and curves that you would imagine that entail. And that's what it is with two joysticks on top of it. So I just can't think how I would, like, I'm sitting on my couch in front of my TV. This giant, like, Capcom logo is just sitting on my lap. Like, what? What am I, like, going to put my hands on, even?
You're also probably going to, since it's all focused on these multiplayer games, these two-player games.
Two people.
You're going to be touching the person you're
playing. You're going to be bumped right up next to them.
Yeah, that was the joke I made on Twitter. My reaction was, you know, you better like the person that you're playing
with. Which isn't that different than an arcade experience, sure. But you're sitting on a couch.
Well, you're not moving the cabinet, though, when you're freaking reefing on the
controller. But how sad is it going to be when it's seesawing on your lap when you're playing by yourself?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, man.
And if that thing split in two, right, for two people to play these games and not have to be touching, I don't know. It'd be a lot more
cap and com.
Or if they were just the regular,
cap and com.
If it was the regular rectangle shape that every fighting stick is, that seems a perfectly reasonable choice for the shape of the controller.
But this is unreasonable and amazing looking.
Yeah.
See, and right there, I feel like that's taken priority exclusively so that when they look back in 15 years, it's like, oh, do you remember that? Yeah.
It's like the chainsaw controller for the GameCube.
Yeah. It's just like a.
Sam, is this going to be a collector's edition or is it going to be a collector's item?
If Damon doesn't like it, then yes.
There you go. The other weird thing about this is that it's only available to pre-order from Capcom's European store.
Mm. I mean, all of this is going to make it worth a lot of money. Yeah.
This thing is not even mentioned on Capcom's North American store.
Well, that's probably going to change, right?
I'm just saying, and just so far...
I just think that's one of the vagaries of international business.
But like, today, when there's, you know, the internet is... There's just one internet, you know? But what's the... So they're going to announce it for US sometime down the road?
Try telling that to IGN Italy that keeps reviewing the game.
It is weird. IGN... Spain, IGN Japan, IGN India.
No, I mean, like, all joking aside, like, some international subsidiaries of companies work crazy together and operate as one, and some don't. So I wouldn't.
I'm just pointing that out as an unusual thing right now.
Yeah.
For right now, you can only pre-order it from the European store and for whatever, 230 euros, something like that.
So
the
price
is insane.
I don't think the contours and stuff look that bad. I think it'll be fine for
let me see.
Where are you going to rest your arms? It's not big enough.
It's not.
Where do you rest your arms when you hold a controller now?
I know. It's not an airplane seat.
This. I can't play it. I can't hold
it
like
controller.
This. It's going to be so sitting good. On my lap.
It makes you so mad.
No, what
a regular fighting stick has like room for your forearms to like lean on it.
No, it doesn't.
Here's the other thing.
No, you put it in your lap and you hover your hands like Mr. Burns.
I'm thinking
my hands like this.
I need a demo here. What's the other thing? Look at the controller and tell me what can you see and not see.
You can't see the buttons.
You
the buttons
can't
are clear.
See the buttons. Yeah. Like right now.
They get in the way of the Capcom logo.
But you're supposed to, you don't see the buttons when you're using any controller.
No, but my point is there is something to be said about having buttons that are typically bright red or bright something that differentiates from the actual backdrop.
I think they
that
might be
at.
Backlit.
No.
It might glow.
It looks
well, I also think like with 16 games, like they don't really want to, like they can't be like, oh, press the red button. Like they need to just keep the buttons generic.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people so put that on your, on the coffee table too, so you're just kind of like hanging there. But it will be weird if you can't play that in your lap with nobody else. Like it's just, you need to, I guess, put your cat there.
It's going to be all off center.
Just put the other side of
that's
it.
That's like such a non-trivial detail.
Get one of those pillows.
The form factor is so bizarre.
Yeah. Pillow.
And everything's going to be plugged into it, right?
Well, just you just plug in the HDMI cable.
But that's what I mean. So then even that, it's like VR
right
now.
That's the other thing, yeah.
No, it's powered also.
Right. So then you have these AC. It's basically every problem that we've had with all these like mini releases.
So you have the AC cords power are too long, and an HDMI cable that extends all the way to your lap.
You do have
that's actually a really
cable.
Good point. It's
yeah.
like
HDMI.
All the other mini consoles at least have a controller cord coming out of it.
Yeah.
And this doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, but
see? That's pretty sketch.
You can use 40D batteries.
they're gonna include a big long extension cable just wrapped up with the thing. It's
what,
like 20 gauge.
What seriously uses D batteries today?
Maglite.
Big flashlights.
Is that
flashlights.
All it is? Just big flashlights.
Do you remember when we had the flashlight in the office that could burn holes in paper?
No. Okay. I don't.
So we had a show called Cheap Crazy Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cheap,
I remember cool, that. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And the start era.
And they got a Maglite. But it was so powerful that you could hold it up to a piece of white paper and it would just burn a hole right through it.
And what could
the
go
beam.
Wrong?
Yikes.
Everybody pointed it at each other's eyes in the office the minute we got it.
Naturally. flashback to start there.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what the logo was. It was something like, it was like.
Great. It was like retro.
Oh, yeah.
No, the slogan.
Oh, start?
It was like, play a little, learn a little. It's like life.
Yeah.
So, like Damon, I have some logos to run by you for your acceptability rating.
Logos?
Yeah, for
you
a controller.
I don't have an issue with the Capcom logo.
No, but great for logo. The contour of a controller based on these logos, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The IGN logo.
Just the letters? Or like the old one?
With
that's
the
like
D-pad.
The circle, the D-pad one.
Yeah, that one.
Would be a difficult, no, not a good controller.
Okay, Domino's Pizza.
Yeah, just the rectangle, the square pizza box?
Yeah,
yeah that's good. Okay. That's great.
They can split in half.
The Taco Bell.
No, that wouldn't be a good one. Your hands would be sliding off the sides of the bell.
Star Wars.
Star Wars, if it's solid, it's the right shape. It's the right overall, basically a rectangle shape. If it's solid, that would be good.
Okay, and finally, Konami.
No, Konami would not be good.
Right. No.
Fine. Now we know.
Get the Konami jig.
We have to touch on that price, $250.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Ish.
Yeah.
Transit.
What a bummer. Like, if you were to chart my excitement for this console, it's like, oh, it's got Aliens vs. Predator. Oh, it's got all these awesome games. And then, ooh, wait.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's how much money?
For just 16 games, which I, like I said at the top, I think it's a really good list. But there's some pretty obscure ones in there. Like, I don't think most people.
What was that mech fighting game?
Cyberbots.
I'd never
Full heard, Metal Madness.
I'd never heard of Cyberbots. I watched some YouTube videos of it. It looks awesome.
I can run down the game list here. 1944, The Loop Master. The game's pretty cool. Top-down shooter. Alien vs. Predator. Never been released on consoles before, so that's cool. Armored Warriors. Not familiar. Capcom Sports Club. Not familiar. Captain Commando. Beat 'em up starring the old mascot. That one's cool.
It's really funny. There's a generic cable-like superhero that is Captain Commando, which is just from the Capcom name, and they just made a game based out of
it. Cyberbots, Full Metal Madness, Darkstalkers, The Night Warriors, of course, classic. Eco Fighters, not familiar with that one.
It's like a Captain Planet-y fighting game.
Final Fight, amazing. Ghouls and Ghosts, amazing. Giga Wing, really cool shooter. Mega Man The Power Battle is a Mega Man fighting game in arcades.
Play it.
Pro Gear, don't know that one. Street Fighter 2, of course. Strider is an awesome action game. And then Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, which I think is great. Yeah. It's really, really good.
Oof. I do. Oh, man.
Real focus on multiplayer because they're all arcade games. Yeah. And it's really neat.
And because there's two controllers on the stick.
I don't know. It's another weird one. Good game list. Very expensive and I think a baffling.
All right, we'll post the bruises on Damon's sensitive little forearms once we get this to test in the office.
There's a let's play is to actually line up every game, specifically fighting games, where you're mashing the controller back and forth and see the distance you actually need to be next to somebody in order to play it comfortably. You almost need to be. Yeah, it's gonna be terrible, but good. It's so bad.
What's your job here?
Yeah, stop. I'm going to do it. It's going to be you two. It's going to be you two.
Can we play Puzzle Fighter?
Absolutely.
Love Puzzle
Fighter. Can we? Maybe it'll hurt too much.
That's what I'm hoping for.
You know what it is?
That's when the boat flies and you land.
It's all Cobra Triangle.
Boat flies and you land.
It does. The
it
boat
flies
like,
into the street.
It does. The boat flies in with its little propeller and then.
Cobra Triangle is impossible to play.
It's really hard.
It's difficult to control, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which way
fun game
in the office?
I think it's pretty playable.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. Well,
it's hard. It's a hard game. Yeah. I can get about third boss.
We never did play
Nappy. That's really far.
It is far. Yeah.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Oh, yeah, we need to play Nappy.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop.com, just like Philip Krostowski did. He says, I am a new listener from St. Louis, Missouri, and want to say your show helped me stay sane while studying for the most important exam of my career, the PhD qualifying exam. Required me to shelve gaming for 5.5 months.
Aww.
I will give you some good news, though. I passed the exam on my first try.
Congratulations.
And you only get 2 chances. Other good news is a month after passing my qualifying exam, I got married. Now, as a gamer, there is the balance between wanting to play video games, which I love, and spend time with my wife, whom I also love. My question is, how do you split your time to allow for gaming and for time with your significant other? Do you have any advice to a newlywed on how to make sure there is time for gaming and time for the wife? Let me add, my wife would not be considered a gamer.
Always a challenge.
I have a funny tip that Brian Altano gave me, which I don't do, which is he gets up at 5 a.m. and plays games.
Gosh.
He has a whole day before his day. Yeah. He's like, I got up this morning and watched The Avengers, and I came into work.
And I would,
That's crazy.
I think that's a really good tip. It's not for me. I don't have that problem, but it's interesting.
See, I'm a night owl. I'll do the opposite.
Yeah, that's me.
No way.
And I guess Justin's the same.
Yeah. My wife requires, we're just kind of lucky this way, or whatever. It's just a quirk of our relationship, is that she needs more sleep than me.
Yeah.
And so she's in bed by 9, and I'm in bed by 11, 12, and then that's kind of my time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, so what's his question again? I want to actually...
How does he balance spending time with his wife and playing games?
I feel like there was a different question where we talked about this. Mm-hmm. The balance is not how do you do it, is it okay to do? I think that's when the issue comes in, right?
Hopefully it is.
Even though we are a video game podcast, let's make it very clear. The wife comes first.
Yes.
Right? Video games are a hobby and your spouse and loved ones always need to take precedence over.
That's the balance though.
But I also want to point out, hopefully your wife knew about your passion for video games before you got married and was okay with it.
Absolutely. And that's my situation. My wife and I've actually gotten her into playing mobile games mostly. Oh, that was a mistake. Expensive mistake. But she enjoys that. And
has she tried Gumballs and Dungeons?
Yeah, not yet. I've been, she's already playing other games. There's one at a time.
Don't introduce Animal Crossing.
Exactly, I know. But she knew about me and being a little bit borderline obsessed with gaming, and that's never been an issue. But the onus is on me to be responsible. And that also is difficult because when you're getting late at night playing games Scarrow and everything else.
Well, you're hardcore. You're much later an owl than I am.
Yeah. I'll stay.
I'll on a weeknight. I try to get to bed at midnight.
Yeah, midnight's my bedtime.
Midnight. I'll see you the next morning in the office. You'll be like, I was up 4 a.m. playing Apex Legends.
You know, because they go on these sprees where when you're playing with other people, you just forget what time it is, and that happens
to
me.
No,
a
I
lot.
Don't.
I do. Like, I totally. Bed. I do not look at the
is
clock.
Is it because you're having fun?
Well, it's because.
Why is the answer not yes?
Because I'm really competitive, so it's a combination of just being super competitive, having fun, but then also going like, all right, this is a new game, I'm really wrapped up in this, and then I
it's
get
like
caught
a
in
a little
that.
Bit of compulsion. In
it is, and I'm aware that that exists in me, so is she, so I'm glad that it's mutually beneficial for us, but yeah, it's definitely a problem when you're a first newlywed because you just, yeah, there's just figuring out that flow.
We don't have a problem with the time in our life. We do some light bickering about space and just about having video games and video game junk and that garbage in our house is a point of contention between the two of us because we live
don't get into arcade machines.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's not even an option. And so that's why, like, as digital has become more and more viable, it's been such a lifesaver where, like, now I can have a really, really big library of next-gen games without having to find a place to put them all. Like, we're literally out of like closet space.
Have I got the Xbox for you?
Yeah. You know what could also be an all digital edition? Any other Xbox.
Yep. Oh my God. Buy the regular 1S and just don't put any discs in it.
Buy the 1S and don't just buy your games digitally.
Is it smaller? Oh, it's the same size.
Anyway, we don't want to get back to that.
I had another point before I started laughing at your jokes again.
It happens.
Can't remember what it is. Yeah.
All right, well.
Oh, no, I do remember. Okay. My parents are both college professors, and they got PhDs, of course. And they have so much time in their weeks. I think you're going to be fine.
Okay.
Is this what you're going for? Are you going to teach? Because if you're going to teach in college, like, you just game for, you know, the 40 hours a week that you're not working between 9 and 5. Mm. And then you teach, like, what, on Wednesday? I haven't seen this my whole life. I'm in and then they get the summers off.
Yeah.
Then they get a sabbatical.
For all the teachers, thank you for what
No, my
you
wife's
do.
A teacher.
I know that.
That's
I'm just
real.
Saying. No, I know. But
I'm saying college. Professors. College
okay.
professors.
Okay, gotcha. So all the professors.
They have office hours maybe on Monday.
We're in the wrong profession.
Yeah, there it is.
It's for professors an hour, and then they easy. Don't show up.
Yeah, at 10:30 a.m.
I'm sure there's a little more to it, but...
I've been seeing this firsthand. I mean, my parents are authors. They write books. They do all kinds of stuff, but they're not. They don't have to. They could be playing video games.
That's a choice that they made.
They were parents, you know. That's that took a
problem.
Lot of time. That's just what professors do.
All right. Can we move on?
Maybe.
Let's move on.
That's when your boat splashes people in Cobra Triangle.
Just every splash.
Yeah, I got every TJ time twice in a row. That's when the audience gets a little splash. A little splash from your triangle.
Super Nintendo game. I don't know what it is, though.
Is it Super Nintendo?
I think it's
the file's called Round Clear.
Super
Cobra. I don't know where it's from. That's not a real game.
Not a thing.
But it should have been.
Not a thing.
This is Cody.
Hey, Cody.
What's up,
from,
Cody?
From Final Fight. Says, I haven't heard you guys discuss the Mega SG or any of the recent FPGA systems that Analog has been putting out. What do you guys think?
What do you mean we haven't discussed them?
We haven't talked about them on the show.
I love FPGA. It's amazing. Hmm. So basically it's taking all of the exact what a computer was in the 80s or 90s or even earlier than that and making that exact computer. So you're not emulating. You're not doing anything like that. You're transistor by transistor recreating the original device. And they're so good and they play games so amazingly and they can scale them in really fun ways. I'm totally pro FPGA. And they're being used to recreate very obscure arcade systems and games now too. Hmm. It's like people that are programming this stuff as hobbyists are just really cool and it's amazing.
Let's see.
And this Analog company specifically put out the Analog NT, which is the NES remake, and they did the Super NT, which is Super Nintendo, and they just released the Mega NT.
Nice.
Yeah, Analog NT is great, but there's no equivalent cheaper version of it, so there's like a $400, $500 version of it. Of course, it was great, but the Super NT was like, more in the $150 to $200 range, and I love it so much. It's my way to play Super Nintendo games on new televisions.
Yeah.
But I also have an old television, and I like playing on Super Nintendo.
I don't know much about them, but what are the ones that you have at your desk even? Is that...
Oh, that's nothing. Those are... One's called a Retro Trio.
Mm. Retro Trio, yeah.
The
not the same thing.
The point of that is to conserve space on my desk and plug into
multiple
a CRT television.
Things, yeah.
otherwise, I'd have to have a bunch of systems there. So that plays like just Genesis, you know, Super Nintendo, Nintendo.
Yeah. Cool.
I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, it's fine, but yeah. It's not amazing.
I think those things are very cool. I'm really impressed with the work Analog is doing over there. And they've been including like unreleased, like the Sega Genesis one comes with an unreleased game built into the system too.
I mean, it's sort of, from my perspective, I have those consoles still, so
You're fine. An easy way to get it hooked into your HDTV if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, for whatever reason, there's no good way to put a Super Nintendo into a contemporary television. It loses so much signal.
Yeah.
It degrades. It just looks like crap.
It's terrible.
You can work on that. You can process that, but like this is a good solution for HDMI. It's just nice. Yeah. Be able to like list it in your TV channels and stuff too. Just like, this is the Super Nintendo.
I mean, it's weird. The HDMI does carry like an inherent amount of latency, but a lot of that's in your television as well too. It's crazy what TVs do for, you know.
HDMI has latency, right?
It does.
And like the point of the system was to really, really tamp down
eliminate
on that.
That's cool.
I don't notice it. And I really notice latency in games like Punch-Out. So
yeah,
I haven't had any problems with that.
Like a top 10 disappointment for me in my SNES Classic is that that's when I discovered my TV had more input lag than I thought. Like I don't notice it in contemporary games because they're a little bit, you know, mushier
you
in how they control
mode?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Even with game mode on.
Game mode?
It's not horrible. Like if you were to look at it, you wouldn't be like, oh, that's so bad. But it's bad enough that like there's a tick of you know, latency there.
And then you like you learn to live with it. And then if you try playing the game on an actual system and then you're like, you're off.
Yeah, my muscle memory is all off in Mario World.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a bummer.
It's the reason why when I look at TVs, game mode, and then even there's like a Dolby MPEG noise reduction thing that usually introduces a little bit of lag and latency in it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's other things to turn off. If you can go through and just make it like as naked as possible, sometimes that helps.
Yeah.
I'll probably just...
TVs are so bad at that.
I know.
Probably just put the thing in the closet and just not deal with any of that.
Yeah.
There's that too. Listen, those tom hits right at the beginning are great.
Yeah.
Ooh. Stereo.
Oh, stereo.
Yeah. This is Jester. That was a game over screen from something. Mm. This is Jester. In the list of best-selling game consoles on IGN's Twitter, we posted a list of that, best-selling game consoles of all time this week. I was shocked to see the gap in sales between the Nintendo 64 and PlayStation. Seems like there's far more nostalgia for the N64 than PlayStation, even though the PlayStation sold far better. Any theories as to why? Perhaps it's how memorable the games were. It is true that the PlayStation outsold the Nintendo 64 by like 3-1.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I think there's more nostalgia for the PlayStation. There just is.
Well,
so you disagree with Justin.
I mean, in our office, there's a lot of Nintendo fans, but like in the world, I think there's more PlayStation fans and their nostalgia for the PlayStation is palpable and we should offer coverage of it.
No one's saying we shouldn't cover it.
The PlayStation dropped to like $99. The PS1 did. And like it just dropped and dropped and dropped in price. And that was the console that lived for like 9 or almost 10 years and had like this life beyond even when the PS2 came out. They still released the PS1, the ONE edition. And like, I don't know what percentage of its console sales happened at like that very 11th hour, but like a lot, like, you know, tens of millions of consoles. So that skews the data somewhat. Like they were, you know, the PlayStation was always ahead, but.
The
N64 like ended and PS1 sales continued.
That's true. But if Jester is correct and there is more nostalgia for the Nintendo 64, even though it didn't sell as well, my guess would be that's just the power of Nintendo and their brands and the fact that all the best games for Nintendo 64, some are regarded the greatest games of all time, Ocarina of Time,
Mario 64. And Mario Kart. Like those are across generations.
They were Nintendo games. Yeah. And the best games on PlayStation, Resident Evil 2, Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy 7, those aren't Sony games.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I didn't know if Sony did publish.
They're not as closely associated with the hardware.
Yeah. There's just a greater brand affinity for Nintendo that space. Yeah. That's my guess at least.
Yeah. I think the just the IPs in and of itself, but then also the fact that when those games came out, trying to compare them to the previous 16-bit era, it was such a jump. Like it felt amazing. I just remember Zelda and Mario. Like we can probably all remember where we were when we first played those games. I don't have that experience with PlayStation 1. Like it was a cool system, but I don't remember anything from it that I go, oh man, I remember.
Well, I have a lot of those moments.
I do, but not as many as I did with like Super Nintendo.
It's interesting, but like I can say like internally, you know, before it came out, it was a little bit of a dud. The PlayStation Classic was really, really popular with our audience.
Yeah,
like I would say as or maybe even slightly more popular than the other two classic systems that have come out. Now that's not Nintendo 64, but like I just think like there's a perception, just we're in a little bit of a Nintendo bubble sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true.
Just the fact that it sold that much more outside of the Nintendo 64 means more people played it, and not necessarily the United States. In Japan and Europe especially,
yeah,
those are just it's just a different situation.
When we were living that generation, Nintendo very rightly got like savaged, right? Like
totally.
The games are much more expensive. Mm-hmm. They would go have months and months long dry spells with nothing coming out, whereas mm-hmm. PlayStation just had game after game after game and all the support from EA and third parties. But now, in 20 years hindsight, the only thing people really remember or care about are like the what are the top 25 N64 games or PS1 games? So some of the criticism of the N64 that was real and legitimate sort of fades with time, and all you're left with is the legacy. Yeah. And in that sense, the N64's legacy is like some of the greatest games ever.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. If you look at just the top 25 list for both of those consoles, it looks like they kind of have parity in their libraries, even though there's PlayStation library is vastly larger.
Well, it was broad. Like you know, the disc-based medium allowed the games to be cheap and be made really cheaply. And so for me, as like a young gamer, and like that was around the time where I like it became like the focal point of my life. Just all the weird PS1 games, just like, you know, Vib Ribbon and just all this bizarre weird stuff that just couldn't exist on carts.
Like, yeah.
There's actually like non-weird ones like the Spyro series and Crash Bandicoot that are also like so popular with IGN's audience. Like those are the biggest games we've covered in the retro space.
Yeah, it's just space.
And I really think it's maybe the reader's perception, and definitely like it happens to me because I just again like missed that era and like Nintendo, like that PlayStation is not remembered as well. It totally is.
All right, that brings us to video game 20 questions. First, before we get to our real one, I want to read a letter here from Julian, who says, "I live in rural Australia. I've been listening to the podcast for about a year now. A few weeks ago, I heard you guys say that there are some games you won't use in 20 questions. My question is, what is your criteria for getting a game onto the segment so I don't waste time emailing in games that definitely won't be picked?" And the only criteria is that I'm not going to pick something that's so obscure, I don't think they would ever guess it.
We tried that this week.
I want to make it fair. And it didn't work.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're looking at a game. What was that game called?
It was called Astrobot something something.
Not Astrobot.
No. Something robot.
Yeah. It was a Nintendo 64 game that had gotten a high score.
I'm not going to ask about it.
Do you know what's happening here?
No. Well, last week we lost in 20 questions and I suffered a terrible wound. And this week, I'm still fighting.
This is good.
But I think it's true that if you win this week, your eye might grow back.
It might happen again.
So.
Gotcha. Okay.
I can feel it in there.
And Julian from rural Australia submitted a game from 20 Questions, and I'm going to read it here because I didn't pick it because I think this is a good example. Although, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Although yesterday, Sam, you said this game and brought this game up. So maybe it wouldn't have been as hard.
Hey, did I say the game?
Hack question number one.
His suggestion was Body Harvest.
Oh, yeah. And I would have gotten Body Harvest.
Okay. Well, so I thought that might have been too obscure, but
well, I guessed Body Harvest for this other game about Robo.
We would. I think we would have ended up with like N64 exclusive, not made by Nintendo, and like I think we would have gotten there.
Mm. It's tough.
In general,
EMA
though,
design.
I'm just trying to pick stuff.
Rockstar.
I think they.
I would have had at least 10 terrible questions for that.
Well, Enter the Gungeon, nobody would have gotten, so you failed your own test.
I thought Enter the Gungeon was pretty doable.
And then we walk out and we give Pear like six of the questions we got, and it was the first thing he got.
That German efficiency, man.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it's true. Our real suggestion this week comes from Chad Gregoire in Saskatchewan.
No way!
Canada.
Nice.
Is Saskatchewan a nice place?
It is. It was my hometown for 12 years.
You know him?
I mean, he's my neighbor.
Do you know all the good like swimming holes?
You call him Greg.
Yeah, exactly. What's up, man? He's freezing up there? Yeah, you are.
Do you think you know which high school you went to?
I mean, if he told me, I probably would. It's a small...
I mean, this is Chad Gregoire.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
I mean, here's the thing. Saskatchewan is the size of California.
What just popped up on the screen?
Landmass-wise.
I didn't want to update the screen deck.
We're going to leave that. So landmass-wise, I have a hard time taking you serious most of the time.
You should take me more seriously.
I apologize. So landmass, it's the same size as California, but there's only a million people in the whole province. So California has, I think, like 33 million.
So how much character wear a hat?
How much land is that per person?
I don't know, but it's pretty big.
Let's let's let the questioning begin.
All right. You going to do the voice the whole time?
Here, this might help.
What is about to happen?
I'm nervous. You don't know what's happening.
You can wear these.
Oh, perfect. This is just because I failed last week's?
No, it's just because you look cool.
All right.
Yeah, those do look pretty cool.
Right. Do I?
Okay.
So video's back, everybody. I just wanted to let you know. You could see what was going on instead of just hearing us. Well,
tune in.
I was going to say giggle, but I think CJ was losing it.
I'm giggling.
All right.
It's full belly rolling.
First question.
This game come out before January 1st, 1990?
No.
Should we ask if it had a different name in Canada?
That's later.
Did it come in a bag?
So not before 1990. Was it before 2000?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
90s game.
There we go.
Ooh, all right. I feel like a little bit of vision coming.
Yeah, there you go. It's coming back. would this be a game on a cartridge?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good to know.
That's good. That is good to know. I think we got like...
I was just amused by the hypothetical framing of it. Not like, is this a game on a cartridge?
I always kind of want like some wiggle room there.
Got it.
Would you describe this as... go ahead.
Is this an N64 game?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Would you describe this as a 16-bit game?
Yes. It appeared in 16-bit. Yes.
Okay.
It's five
what
questions.
What is happening?
I know. I mean...
Could be a TurboGrafx game.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was wondering. Which
well,
is
it
kind
could just
of
be
a little
game
bit
that was
than...
on Sega CD also or something, right?
No one knows how many bits that thing had.
Should we isolate Sega and Nintendo?
I'm not sure I understand what a bit is.
It's, well, there's, you know, 15 others.
Bitties.
I've never thought much about it.
Okay.
I mean, did this game appear on the Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. Right. Is it based on a license?
No.
This is a
pregnant pause.
Hey, that's part of the game, man. Reading Damon.
Okay. Here we go.
there's another one going now.
Is this a platformer?
No.
Whoa.
Was this game developed in Japan?
No. Sorry, I hesitated. That's a definite hard no.
Do we ask anything about first party or anything?
No, but it wasn't made
in Japan, so
that would have been tough.
Yeah,
we don't know it's exclusive to Super Nintendo.
Not a license.
The way I phrased it is this: did this game appear on Super Nintendo?
What, did this have two player?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
That's 10.
Ooh. 10. Should we dive into genre a little bit more? I mean, there's fighters and sports.
We have the questions.
Would this... Let me find it. Is this a fight?
Both those things we could discount by asking, could you compete with a friend in this game?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's pretty vague still.
There wasn't
you would discount all fighting and sports games instead of asking them individually.
Well, but there's not a ton of co-op, though. So the answer is, like, probably yes.
No, but there's exchange controller games.
Yeah.
That's true.
But we eliminated platformers.
Yeah. You do that a lot in platformers.
I think you can ask whatever you want.
Yeah, I think the fighting game is still relevant because it was only...
Sure, guys.
Is this a fighting game?
No.
Eliminates a lot.
Is this game in a contemporary collection of games?
No.
Mm.
That eliminates a lot of dang games.
It really does. Super Nintendo, not a fighter or platformer.
Can we sports...
Yeah, it could be sports.
It'd be really weird if it was, but I love it.
If it was sports, there's still a lot of big sports games that were on the NES.
Not made in Japan, so it's not even like, you know, like Mario Kart, something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of EA games.
Remember,
NBA
it
Jam.
Was on Super Nintendo. It doesn't mean it was only on
did
Super
this game
Nintendo.
Appear
it sounds like it was everything.
At the time it was released, mm-hmm. did this game appear on consoles other than the Super Nintendo?
Well, we actually know that from elimination.
How do we know that?
Because when I asked if it was a 16-bit game, he said, yes, it appears on a 16-bit console.
Right, but it could... Well, so then I wonder if it's also maybe arcade even.
I don't understand what's going on. How does that eliminate?
Yeah.
Because he kind of hesitated, and it seemed to imply that it was on a bunch of different systems.
Yeah.
Well, but it was also on Super Nintendo.
That's a level of metagaming I'm unwilling to engage in.
All right, fine. You asked a question. Was this on other consoles?
Yes.
Okay. I'm wondering...
It's a multi-platform... Yeah. So I got to stop. I got to get Super Nintendo out of my head. It was on other stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Madden NFL.
Yeah, but it would be like NHL or something 94 that, you know, we actually... Why are we talking about sports games? There's so many other genres out there.
That's what I mean. What were super popular, though?
Do you fight stuff in this game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm thinking, is it like side-scroll?
So it sounds like a side-scroll.
Yeah,
Hella fighting.
Mm-hmm. Like TMNT.
Maybe it's just Final Fight.
Could be Final Fight.
No, that's Japan.
Oh, right.
That's something... like a bad version of Final Fight.
Right.
Was like Battletoads.
I know Streets of Rage was Sega, but it was like, was it like, did Sega of America make that? I don't know what team made that.
So many of those brawlers are
also not on Super Nintendo.
Oh, there's we could ask if it's a mascot game. I know platformers kind of fall into that though, huh?
Yeah, you could. That's really good.
Like I would call Boogerman and Earthworm Jim and stuff platformers.
I would too. And they're not multiplayer.
Yeah. Multiplayer, you fight a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's, yeah, doesn't it? Should we ask if it's a brawler?
Could be Mutant League Football.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't isolated sports.
I don't know if it's a Super Nintendo game, but.
Yeah.
Good point.
Is this a brawler?
Yes. But that's 15.
Time's running out in Cobra Triangle. Deposit all the dudes into the life jacket area.
get the thing to the goal. Exactly. Don't let that other boat touch you.
Don't let your boat. It's your boat going down.
What do you think a non-Japanese brawler could possibly be?
Dude.
What is, I mean, Rare? No. But was Battletoads?
Everything's Capcom. Everything.
Battletoads.
Battletoads and Battletoads and Double Dragon.
I mentioned that already. It's Trade West. Or,
it was Trade
Rare
West.
Made Rare. Those, though.
Yeah.
So, and I did mention Battletoads Double Dragon, and I was thinking of it as a Japanese game, though, so that is true.
Yeah.
Is this a Rare game?
Yes.
Do you play as a Toad?
You can.
Yeah.
Do you play as...
We don't have any questions to mess around with.
But I know, but there's two or three more, and there's only three games on the NES.
There's two more. You can see his fingers in front of you.
No, I'm saying, but yeah, we...
Wait. So it's SNES, and the original Battletoads was NES.
Yeah.
But Battletoads Double Dragon was 16-bit.
Right.
That's right.
There's Battletoads and Battle Maniacs.
It was also an NES. That's where his trickiness comes from.
So it's got to be then...
It's Battletoads versus Double Dragon.
It's got to be Battletoads and Double... Well, let's use a hack.
Okay.
Did we mention this?
Let's not.
Yeah.
Let's ask, can you play as Bimmy or Jimmy in this game?
You can.
This is Battletoads versus Double Dragon.
Yeah. Battletoads, is it versus Double Dragon or and Double Dragon?
No one knows.
I think it's Battletoads and Double Dragon.
And Double Dragon.
I thought it was. Did I say versus? I thought it was versus.
Yeah. I said versus, but I also said and.
That is a great game on SNES.
Yeah, and it was also on NES, like you said, and on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
On Game Boy.
Yeah.
The
Game Boy one's the one to play.
I think Endgame should move over and the true crown for greatest crossover event of all time.
Battletoads and Double Dragon.
It's amazing that happened.
It is pretty crazy. And then, like, Rare developed it, Trade West published it. And is Trade West Japanese? I don't even know.
I can't remember.
No, it's British.
They're British. Okay. Yeah. That would make sense.
So when I first came to IGN, remember, I almost
You're thinking
beat...
of Data East.
I almost beat the original Battletoads NES. I can basically get right up to the Queen without Game Genie.
You can get through that snake level?
Yeah, you get through the snake level. Yeah, you take the warp right out of there into Klinger Winger and a bunch
you
of other
stages. You can't do that
Klinger Winger.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, Klinger Winger. And then that game came out for, I loved it for NES and Super NES. It's got one of the best soundtracks that I can remember on Super Nintendo. It's really, really good.
I can, and I have, but it's so hard for me just to beat the first dodging cement pylons level.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So hard.
That's where everybody dies there, and then you make it through there 5% of the time, and then die immediately after.
Yeah, but you got to take the warp. There's like a warp on the 10th one, and later on.
It is the best pause music.
Why don't more games have pause music?
Oh, it's so good. That the music in that game was actually really good as well.
Oh, it's great.
The NES
one. And a lot of like
I'm gonna show you the stage that was my favorite music in that game. That's so good. Cool. That's really good. All right.
Well, the healing powers of 20 questions, I think they've worked. But CJ's taken a deadly injury.
Yeah. Where'd that thing come from?
A mortal injury.
Man down.
Thank you for the suggestion, Chad Gregoire.
Saskatchewan. Nice. I played that game so much.
Listeners, if you have your own suggestions, email them to me at gamescoop@ign.com. I only ask that they not be too obscure. Body Harvest is okay. That level of obscurity is
If they are obscure, he just gives them to me across our desk.
Yeah. That's true. We have a long weekend here in San Francisco, so if you do as well, enjoy the long weekend, play some games. That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, man.
Damon.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
We are going to control you now. make you our slaves.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.